Excellent. Highs today of 3 degrees centigrade, lows of 3 degrees centigrade. So kind of flat line. Fresh with freezing fog is the official line, with rain and drizzle in the afternoon. Hurrah!
Putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Splendid. And remind yourselves that we have Emma Tenson, Mary Dancy, Emily Jones, Tessa Snart, Claire Margerison, Natasha Armstrong, and Eva MacDonald in the house, so
to
speak.
We're testing your memory, darling.
And they're not even wearing badges either. It's quite phenomenal. Coming up next, nutritionist Fiona Hunter. Moderation in all things. It's a good maxim to live by, particularly if you're looking to some of the phenomena that refers to as drunk orexia, and, of course, women and a whole range of other issues, because a recent survey by the website Dryit reveals that 1 in 20 women actually admit to skipping a meal or reducing food consumption in order to cut down on calories. To explain why this is a dreadful thing to do and indeed not advisable in any way, shape or form, we're delighted to be able to welcome back to the airwaves that fabulous nutritionist and ace food writer extraordinaire. It's Fiona Hunter. How are you, Fiona?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you for such a nice introduction, Alex.
Very important in every sense of the word. But this particular survey, I was saddened and a little surprised, actually, because I know there's a tendency for common sense to go out of the window when alcohol is concerned, but this is not good news.
Well, what the survey showed was that many women are aware that alcohol contains a vast number of calories. And this time of year, particularly when people are more conscious about, you know, losing a little bit of the Christmas weight, what they do is they cut back on food to save the calories for booze, which, as you said, is never a good idea, because we know that certain nutrients women struggle to get in their diet anyway, some of the B vitamins and things like zinc, for instance. So if you're reducing the amount of food that you're eating, you're even less likely to be meeting the target for these nutrients. And alcohol provides what we as nutritionists would call empty calories. So it's just calories. You get no vitamins, no minerals, no good stuff with alcohol, unfortunately.
And if we were being brutally honest, we'd say you're taking a poison into your system as well. The liver wouldn't thank you for it.
Well, absolutely. The difference between this campaign and many of the campaigns that people are talking about this time of the year is Dryit is actually encouraging women to think about how much they drink, but not cut out completely. Just be mindful of what they're drinking and try and cut back, because I believe that all or nothing thinking with anything, with, you know, with drinking, with diet, with chocolate, is never very successful. A much better approach is to think about how much you're drinking and try and cut back. Maybe have at least a couple of alcohol-free days a week. Do things like smaller glasses, alcohol with less alcohol, you know, by volume, ABV, will all help you cut back on your alcohol. But there's lots of good tips on the site, which is dryit.co.uk.
Which is very important. I mean, the Department of Health guidelines, of course, recommends that you shouldn't drink any more than 14 units of alcohol per week, spread over three or more days. And there are positives out of this. I mean, somehow it's not a case of saying, oh, how can I possibly sort of relax or unwind, etc. You can actually do it, and the benefits are immeasurable.
Absolutely. So, and people don't really appreciate until they've tried it. But in terms of your long-term health, yes, there are huge benefits to be gained there. But very on a short-term basis as well, people will find that they sleep much better, that they will have more energy, and also things like, we know that alcohol will affect your appearance, your skin, you know. So I would urge listeners to give it a go.
Clearly, older women are seen as especially at risk because they become more sensitive to the effects of alcohol as they age. But I'd also suggest that actually, even if you're in that university undergraduate or indeed postgraduate era, you need to be very sensitive about this, and dry it makes perfect sense then as well.
Absolutely. I mean, this is good advice for anyway. But we know the way that older women drink is very different from the way that younger women and younger people drink. Younger people tend to binge drink, whereas older middle-aged people will drink regularly throughout the week. And that, I think, is more damaging. Obviously, I'm not advocating binge drinking, but the most important thing is to try and have at least a couple of alcohol-free days. I mean, I do it myself. Not binge drinking. I will try not to drink during the week and then have some wine at the weekends. And it is a habit. Drinking is a habit for many people.
Just do the drinking, don't do the alcohol. That's the key thing. You know, it's important to have you drink water and indeed various other things, but just reduce the alcohol. Dryad, a wonderful portmanteau term, Fiona. And as you rightly said, the drinking diet. Just a reminder, the best website to go to find out more information about this, if folk are actually thinking, let's consider this.
Yeah, it's dryad, D-R-I-E-T, .co.uk.
Fiona, as ever, it's been an absolute delight touching base with your good self, and I take it you had a reasonably interesting and totally sober telephonic link with us this morning.
Yes, this morning.
I know how well they look after you on broadcast, you see. I mean, you always think, oh, just ease back, you know, it's always a work. So I take it you'll return in the not-too-distant future?
Yes, hope so.
Fiona Hunter, many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thank you very much, Alex. Bye-bye.
So dry it. There we are. An interesting line there. In betwixt times, of course, multitasking with that pre-record, I've also uploaded photographs of the entire studio team. You can go to the Southside Broadcasting Facebook site, and they're up there, sorted out. I've even done some tacking as well. Very good.
Very speedy, Alex.
Well, yeah. That is important to sort of work that whole process through there. But Fiona Hunter talking about dry it and the fact that women are unfortunately prone to actually give up food to actually consume more alcohol. That's not a sensible idea.
I know people that do that who will reduce the number of calories they eat during the day. Mm. So if they're drinking in the evening, then it's fine. And I just think it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane.
Look after your bodies.
You've had the full.
I just think it's stupid that people want to sort of excuse themselves. So it's like, oh, it's okay if I drink that much if I do this. Mm. Like, it's not good.
Well,
not
as
a
we
good
said,
mindset.
We started off a piece with moderation. Of course, it does come tie into that other feature, which we'll hopefully be speaking to Zoe Griffiths about. She's head of public health and the programme Weight Watchers, in which so we have this astonishing fact that a recent survey has revealed that nearly two-thirds of women admit to having days when they feel like they constantly criticise themselves from the moment they wake up to when they go to bed.
I've had that.
I think we all have.
This is not good. We've got to work on those positive self-images and develop them. After that, of course, we've got William Sitwell talking precisely at 9:35, and I'm sure he'll find it amazing what sort of issues can be worked through from that. And then Dr. Linda Papadopoulos will be talking about a recent eHarmony survey which suggests some interesting ways to actually deal with relationship breakups. Yeah, well, it's all good. All human life is here on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Eva, coming to you briefly, what are you doing these days on a Wednesday evening, which obviously sort of takes you away from the Midweek Drive?
Just
get the microphone towards yourself, just to pull it around there. Yes, so what do you work doing?
I just work with the National Citizen Service, that you may have heard of.
I have indeed. So within the National Citizen Service, and we are all citizens, let's face it, what sort of things do you do?
I work in their office at the EBP, and I take telephone calls from young people and sort out files and papers. Mm-hmm. It's very fun, very enjoyable.
And as an opera singer, trainee from that point of view, do you often feel you want to burst into song in the office? Or is it...
Well, I do that at home,
yeah.
And I do that at other places, but... No, not at the EBP.
No, that's okay.
She's got to be professional.
Well said, Emma Tinson. Well said indeed. And a quick heads up from the John Wenham Events Diary that the Lincoln Hospital Sports and Social Club on Friday the 29th of January will be featuring at 8 p.m. wrestling. I'll say that again. Wrestling at the Lincoln Hospital Sports and Social Club. There are going to be 6 bouts of wrestling with a 10-man Royal Rumble in aid of the Help the Heroes charity on Friday the 29th of January. Doors will open at 7 p.m. and some of the wrestlers taking part will include Syntax, Timberwolf, Alton Thorne, Kyle Kingsley, Danny Thomas and Robert Sharp. Have you heard of any of those, Eva MacDonald? No. Natasha, not even Timberwolf or Syntax.
But, I mean, pretty good name.
Yeah, yeah, great name.
I think I might call myself Timberwolf.
and become a female wrestler. Just shows up all sorts of things there. Okay, that's Friday the 29th of January. Adults, £10 for tickets. Senior citizens and children, £5. And students, £3. So there we are. What a night. Student at the Lincoln Hospital Sports and Social Club. And, of course, in aid of Help the Heroes. Okay, as promised, coming up very, very shortly, all being well, fingers crossed everything else, Zoe Griffiths. Now, we did say that there might be one or two challenges here. Hopefully, we can actually formally now welcome to the airwaves via the medium telephony and a whole range of things the legendary Zoe Griffiths, Head of Public Health at Weight Watchers. Zoe, are you in fact there? Zoe, can we hear? Can you hear us at all? No, she's obviously not. You see, exactly. These are the challenges. Never mind, we will hopefully connect in a few seconds. She's gonna see me, call me. So with a little positivity, we can actually say now, Zoe Griffiths, Head of Public Health at Weight Watchers, good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. This is great stuff. Now, we've been talking on the programme today, and we've got 7 wonderful women in the studio. Natasha, Mary, Claire, Tessa, Emily, Eva, and... have we missed anybody? I don't know. Emma, whole range. Mary. Anyway, and we've all been... Well, they've all been saying that this survey that Weight Watchers obviously were connected with, it resonates, and it's so sad. I mean, speaking from a male perspective, it's just very, very... unfortunately, in the 21st century, we're at this situation. So share with us, Zoe, from your own point of view, what I presume you weren't surprised by the results of this survey.
Well, obviously, being a woman myself, I probably felt the same as the women in the studio in that it was a real shocking statistics that you see coming back, that we're just so unkind to ourselves.
I mean, this notion of kind of consistently criticising seems to be most surreal from that point of view. Natasha, thoughts from yourself? I mean, does this resonate with yourself at all?
Oh, definitely. It's not at all shock. In fact, the only shocking thing is that it's not, do you know what, the statistics aren't in fact higher, because I think that there's so much pressure on women, on how they look, often objectified. I'm not going to go down the feminist route, I promise. But no, it's not shocking at all. And speaking from someone, I'm very critical of myself anyway, and I know that it's always been a problem, and I assume it's always been a problem for women in the studio.
So, I mean, Zoe, social media. Can we lay the blame at the door of social media for this tendency to become too critical?
Well, in our research and in the cultural report that we produced, which was brought together by a host of experts across sociology, body image and psychology, we found 3 themes that we thought were the answers to why perhaps women these days are feeling like this. And, you know, social media platforms and our visually driven culture, we thought was quite a strong theme. And this piece around image-based criticisms that women tend to go to first and foremost. So the top thing that women tended to criticise themselves about was about being overweight. But I don't... I, I, I one of the reasons that we produced the report and the research wasn't to lay blame to certain, you know, social trends and culture, but in actual fact, to kind of show a mirror up to women today to say, look, guys, this is how we're feeling. We need to do something about this. So one of the things that we've introduced are six key, we're calling them kindness hacks. And one of the suggestions on this, which are kind of achievable ways to help improve the relationship with yourself, is to surround yourself with people and positivity. So, you know, if your social media feed is full of negativity and images that are unrealistic and create kind of a stress in your life, don't have it. Create a positive social media feed where you have, you know, positive messages, you have friends and family that are being positive to you, and, you know, weed out the negativity so that you're kind of creating your own environment that encourages you to nurture and be kinder to yourself rather than criticize yourself.
Emma, does this resonate with yourself? I mean, having just been tagged literally this morning on the Greek Drive Morning Edition team.
Yeah, I mean, social media definitely plays a big part in this, I think. And it seems to me that the trends change and the body type trends change each year. You know, at the moment, there's like a big craze about having a big bum and a skinny waist. But, you know, 5 years ago, it was having a skinny bum and a like skinny waist and being like the boy type figure. So, you know, it changes each year. And I think a lot of women need to understand that it's not necessarily physically possible to change your body to whatever's on trend. And I think, you know, it's hard, but we do all really just need to feel more comfortable in our own skin.
Zoe, clearly one of the aspects of Weight Watchers is it's designed to actually help this gradual routine, that you can't have that instant response, that, you know, we don't necessarily function on that basis as human beings.
Well, one of the important things that we have done this year is to really evolve what we're doing and offering people to much more a holistic approach. So part of this research kind of shocked us to say we really need to do more to help men and women create a kinder relationship with themselves. So that's what we do in our services now. It's not just about, you know, changing your eating and activity habits. It's about taking care of your mind and elements of positive psychology and things like that that we've introduced. So we think those things are really important as part of, you know, everybody wanting to lead a healthier lifestyle.
I was going to ask about the XY chromosome carrying organisms, because obviously being just the sole one in a group of seven X chromosome sort of carrying organisms, it's most peculiar for the 23rd one. Claire Margerison, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I live with four other girls, and I've never lived with four other girls before. And the thing that I found this year is that how easily it is for me to get influenced by them talking about their weight and their diets all the time. And I just find it really sad, because I've come back from uni after Christmas and they're all having cheat days and they're all on diets and all going dairy free and all this stuff. And I find it, they're all intelligent, beautiful women. They just can't see it. And it really saddens me, and it saddens how much it affects me as well. Like, I start looking at what I'm eating and how I'm acting, and that I hate that it makes me feel like that. It's just really strange.
From your own perspective, Zoe, we talked about various hacks. I think you've already arranged that positivity, which is vital and can never be underestimated. Anything else you'd like to briefly mention in terms of areas people listening to this can kind of respond to?
Well, you can search for and have a look in more detail about the kindness hacks if you search hashtag womankind. But one of the things that kind of struck a chord with me was about encouraging people to feel that being vulnerable is okay. So sharing, you know, your anxieties and your worries actually helps other people feel less alone. So we want to encourage people not to be ashamed of their vulnerability, but to actually admit their vulnerabilities and kind of become empowered by it. And I think that's, rather than, you know, pretending that everything is hunky-dory, being honest and real helps other people accept who they are and you know, creates a virtuous circle.
Zoe, sensational stuff there, and I think things which will clearly continue to resonate. We'll go on to talk more about that. But Emma, would you like to put those last two questions to Zoe Griffiths, please?
Yes, Zoe, have you enjoyed being on the show this morning?
I have. Thank you, Emma.
Fabulous. And will you like to join us again on the programme anytime soon?
I would love to. Yeah.
A round of applause for Zoe Griffiths and a round of applause for Rachel, who actually sort of not only did voiceovers, but she also managed to actually get the telephone lines working in the first place. So well done, Rachel Abbott. Yay!
Yay!
Just before we actually go to William Sitwell, we have a brief visit from the wonderful legend that is Sue Rice. Now, of course, MA Community Radio holding Sue Rice. Sue, major day yesterday.
It was. It was absolutely fantastic.
Because
if a little chilly.
It was Gary Barlow's 45th birthday.
Absolutely it was.
I mean, what can you say?
Yes.
You've got your MA and...
Absolutely. I was delighted that it was his birthday yesterday. Yeah. I really was.
I thought, had you timed that specifically? Because I saw that on the sort of the news feed and I thought, surely she hasn't timed it.
I couldn't have timed it any better if I'd have actually tried to do that.
And so it was nice to see two MA community radios with yourself and Dylan, obviously, in the same sort of room.
Yes, matching outfits.
Very
which
good.
Is...
very, very good indeed. For Natasha Armstrong, because she's had such a rough ride with Jared Johnson over the months.
You're going to we get decided, fired.
No. We decided that we'd actually give her a little touch of Hakuna Lion King.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
Oh, what's in a name?
And I got downhearted.
How did you feel?
Every time that I...
Hey, Pumba. Not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing praise.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
Yes, sing it, kid.
It's our problem free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
And in many ways, I feel this could be the theme for William Sitwell. Hakuna Matata from The Lion King. Because let's face it, William, you are the king of the wonderful Waitrose and more, are you not, sir?
No idea what you're talking about.
Fair enough. It's been a wonderful show so far. And William, we have gone for all sorts of records. How many people do you think we've actually got in the studio at present in terms of midweek drivettes, allowing for the fact that Jessica Ward has now gone to Spain?
I think it's you, and because you're a master of mimicry, you're pretending to be all the other people in the studio.
My secret notes! Exactly! I have been actually doing impersonations of Mary Dancy, Claire Margerichon, Tessa Start, Emily Jones, Eva MacDonald, Emma Tinson, Natasha Armstrong, and indeed others as the whole programme has proceeded. It's very true. William, we were talking about Dryad earlier, and the ridiculous notion as raised by nutritionist Fiona Hunter that women are tending to give up on food to actually consume more alcohol in terms of calories. Claire has actually said she knows evidence of this happening as well. I mean, that's just ludicrous, isn't it, William?
No, I know for a fact. For example, there's a man I know in Northamptonshire called Dave, who's a very fine stonemason, and he will often forgo dinner and just drink 6 pints of Guinness because he reckons that's got the right number of calories and nutrition in it. So... no, I mean, I think that, you know, one of the problems with alcohol is that it is very calorific. So, you know, those people who are worried about putting on weight will make the stupid decision of eating less to make up for the intake of calories. And of course, you know, you'll be nutritionally deficient as a result. So I think probably better to be a little bit chubby, full of booze, full of food, than just full of booze. As, not so chubby.
There we are, you see. William Sitwell sort of on the case. Tessa, any questions for William? I mean, I don't think you've actually had a chance to speak as a Peterborough soul. So there we are. Tessa Snart, meet the regular William Sitwell.
Hello. Well, tell me a bit about yourself. Oh. Seems I haven't.
Actually, to be fair, William, Tessa normally does a lot of really key research. Clearly, she's failed on this occasion.
I have failed. It's okay. I haven't done a morning before.
Where are you so far in the world, William? I mean, whereabouts in London do we find you?
I can't possibly tell you that. That's confidential. Where am I in the world?
In the first part of the production, obviously, we had Richard Fitzwilliams and he's schmoozing with Dame Judi Dench and Kate Winslet. Are you out with the Middletons again, William?
You're funny.
Well, you know, it's nice to sort of work our way through that. But how's the book going?
Oh, the second one. Yeah, I'm quarter of the way through the second draft. I've got till the end of February, so yeah, the screws are being twisted. I'm on the rack. I'm feeling the panic, as all scribblers do when they get given when the deadline approaches. So I'm, to be honest, I haven't really got time to speak to you.
Well, this is one of the reasons why, you know, I was going to talk about chocolate cake as now sort of emerged. I mean, you know, look at that for a Facebook update. That's amazing. And of course, the question, what is Tetris? Many people have actually wanted to work out, you know, 10 simple ways to help boost your intellect from more exercise, afternoon nap, magnesium-rich food, sunbathing, mowing the lawn, and of course, number 8, Tetris.
Yeah, I know. What is Tetris?
Anybody like to take that one in the studio?
William, do you genuinely not know what Tetris is?
No, is it a board game?
It's like a computer game.
Is it a computer game?
Yeah, where you match blocks together.
This of course, was the response given, William, by the young lady who's going to do her master's degree at your old alma mater, University of Kent at Canterbury.
Yeah, I just accepted my conditional offer.
Ah, well done. Well, look, can I suggest that you pick up a copy of the Daily Telegraph today, because I have a piece in there. We can talk about that next week.
Well, there we have it, you see. That's what we call sorting it through in every way. Emma, you do this so well. Deliver those last two questions to the Sitwell Meister, please.
Oh, has he got to go?
It's a miracle. Listen, unlike Ian Mills actually came in yesterday and said, I caught William the other week where he just said hello and then he went. So he's had much more than that, you know, so go for it.
William, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
No, not especially.
Well, in that case, we won't invite you back. Would you like to come again and join us next week?
No, not really.
And that's the kind of positivity that I know.
We're all crying.
It's astounding. But he will return, and we might find out exactly what he's doing, or not, as the case may be. Quick plug for Soho Radio, and of course, what's up? What's happening for Soho Radio, and how people can download. Not food for thought. That's a different line entirely. It's what is
you
your?
You can get the podcast now on iTunes.
Excellent.
So we're reaching out and we're going to start doing little short form video clips of the show. Push that out on YouTube. We have 250,000 listeners a month now on Soho Radio, which is quite exciting. So we're building that little brand.
Yeah, exactly.
And one day we dream of being as big as. Biggest siren.
We are companions on the journey of basically complementary broadcasting. Complementarity, that's our official line, or indeed, as this chap would say,
with lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews, and a clear audio muse, it's the midweek drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
William Sitwell, we salute you. Take care now.
Watching the telly and thinking about your holidays.
And so it's time to actually say farewell to a few of our midweek drivettes as we move into a whole range of things. That would be Emma Tinson. How did you enjoy the show, Emma?
I enjoyed it very, very much. I'm very sad to go.
Good. And we'll see you again on Wednesday, of course.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Tessa is heading off as well for shorthand, I believe.
I am, yes.
And so is Emily.
Yep.
Two shorthands. One each hand. By ambidextrous shorthands. Fantastic. Emily Jones and Tessa Snart. Great. Tessa, you're back on Wednesday?
Yes, definitely.
Emily, we'll probably sort of have you back as well in all sorts of ways.
Definitely.
So that's great news as far as that's actually concerned. And so they will head off. And Eva, you're staying?
I'm staying.
Thank you. Good. Natasha, you're staying? Yeah. Yes. Excellent. Clap. Yep. And Mary. There we go. You see, it's a quartet of quality that we get ourselves working with. Coming up next, the final interviewee that we'll be featuring on the Midweek Drive today, that will be Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, a psychologist discussing the recent eHarmony survey on relationship breakups, which is breaking up as we speak. Do 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 down, do be do down, down. Come on, come on, down. Come on, baby, let's start anew. 'Cause breaking up is hard to do. Said that breaking up is hard to do, and probably it's the fear of breaking up that often leads people to actually stay in relationships, possibly after they've passed their sell-by date. To address this particular point and a whole heap of other sort of factors, we're delighted to be able to welcome now that ace guru of relationships. She's just generally an all-round wonderful person. She is Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. How are you, Linda?
I'm fine. Great to be here.
Well, it's always a delight to connect with your good self, but this is an interesting study that was produced, obviously, in terms of people's relationships and lines within that whole thing. eHarmony, of course, behind the study. And it's a mixture of fear of being alone, pity for their partner, all sorts of other areas which kind of allow things to sort of fester, perhaps.
Indeed, indeed. I think one of the most striking parts of the research is that the average person actually knowingly stays in a relationship which they know they're unhappy in for 4 years. So many times, sort of from a psychological standpoint, we talk about identifying an issue and then moving on to solve it. And it sounds like from this research that what's happening is that the issue is being identified. I'm not happy. This isn't working. But then actually the impetus to make a change, to find a solution, seems not to be there, at least not for a significant amount of time.
Well, clearly, we're in a culture where oftentimes we're criticized for the disposability factor and the fact that you should work at your relationship, you work through it. And those are very valid points. But at the same time, again, it's important to get the balance at the heart of these things, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. I think there really is this sense of disposability in our culture with everything. You know, it's sort of Primark relationships. You try them on once, and if you don't like them, you move on. Having said that, and I know this sort of anecdotally as well with sort of the work that I do, there, for a lot of people, there's such a fear of the unknown that they end up staying in a very uncomfortable situation. And this is true of jobs and career, but it's particularly true of relationships. And one of the things that the eHarmony brings up, which I guess a lot of people listening to will kind of resonate with, is the fear of being alone. I think the other thing that happens in our society is that people are made to feel that relationships are a meritocracy, right? If I'm a, you know, if I can't get it right, there must be something wrong with me. So maybe I'm working at it not because it's something I want, but it's something I feel I need to prove to myself, or even worse than that, to the people around me.
And it's a different study, of course, but clearly social media can often be very deleterious in terms of how that that impacts as far as the relationships are concerned, because everybody looks as though you're all having a fantastic time. It makes it even worse.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there's I think traditionally it's kind of relationships are seen as the end goal. And look, understandably so, we're social beings. We're not made to kind of be alone. But I think the whole point of a relationship is that it somehow enhances your life. It's not necessarily about it being easy or anything like that, but it's at some level it makes your life better. And again, that's true whether it's a friendship, whether it's a work relationship, but in a personal relationship, that's very, very important. So if you're in a relationship and you are unhappy, if you're in a relationship and you're unhappy for an extended period, if you're trying and you're continuously unhappy, then there has to be a point at which kind of that self-care kicks in and you're able to say, I need to do this because this is not good for me or the person. And one of the things that perhaps often helps is sort of that projection into the future. If I'm in the exact same place a year from now, 2 years from now, how will I feel?
The time factor, of course, is another aspect, because those two words which are often used, and I'm sure will be wheeled out time and time again, time heals. Interesting to see that it takes an average of 8 months to get over a breakup.
Yeah, indeed. And I think time is a huge healer. But I think also after a breakup, it's kind of a reestablishment of one's identity, right? So if you were an us or a we for an extended period, that means that at least to some extent, those decisions about what, you know, made you a you are going to be sort of in the back of your mind. And I think those 8 months are going to be partly with dealing with the hurt. But I think also they're going to be around reestablishing the small things. things. How did I like my eggs? Because we used to eat our eggs the same way together. Or, you know, which movies have I not watched for a while? Because we always watched the same kinds of films because, you know, he or she didn't like that. Or, you know, likewise with holidays or likewise with friends. So I think there's a lot to be said, excuse me, about that process of healing.
And again, looking at the relationship recovery period, apparently, according to general sort of findings, it increases by 10 weeks for every year spent with a partner. So relationships less than 6 months, 10 weeks will be the average recovery period. I mean, clearly, one of the aspects about this, if people are listening to this sort of things, is you can't really legislate, say it's the same for everybody, because everybody is an individual.
Everyone's an individual. And also, the reasons that we break up are very individual, right? So surely breaking up following an infidelity will make you feel different, both in terms of the relationship you're leaving and ones you're going into, than, for example, breaking up because things fizzled out or because you moved away. So I think it's not just those individual factors that'll play a role, but it's also the factors around why the breakup happened.
So let's move on to eHarmony, and clearly one of the ways in which folk can actually move in, but maybe as a fool's rush in where angels fear to tread, there is this notion of ensuring that, you know, perhaps for reasons that we've talked about already today, the fear of being alone and so on. But again, it's important to, I mean, the old maxim used to be marry in haste, repent at leisure. Maybe we need a 21st century version of that in terms of don't sign up so quickly until you're sort of really ready and set for yourself, really.
Well, absolutely. And I think there's something to be said about getting it right. I think that's, you know, that's the truth. I think for there's wanting to be with in a relationship with someone, and there's just wanting to be in a relationship. And actually, they're kind of two different things. And I think, you know, the idea of haste is probably around feeling you need to tick that box of not single anymore. But actually, I think it needs to be much more around the person that you know, that's doing that ticking. What, you know, what is it about this person, again, that's going to be able to sort of add value to my life, that I'm going to be able to add value to theirs, that we're going to be able to support? And, you know, it's kind of the boring stuff, but the really important stuff. So I think in those initial stages, it's great, and it's very sexy and very fun and wonderful. But I think the depth comes with kind of asking those more serious questions about, am I in a position to kind of share with this person those things about me, and vice versa, that perhaps aren't the easiest. And I think that, you know, intimacy only comes with that kind of vulnerability, and you don't get that overnight. You know, you get that progressively, slowly, by being able to expose parts of you and ensure that they are being accepted or valued, and that's being reciprocated, of course, the other way around.
The classic case, of course, sometimes relationships just exist in cyberspace. When you actually move into flesh space, it can be a different line entirely. So it's an interesting, we are fascinating human complex beings in many ways. And as a psychologist, Linda, I'm sure you'd sort of say, yeah, absolutely, and long may that continue.
Indeed.
Linda, it's been fabulous touching base with a good soul today. People are actually wanting to find out more about these particular aspects, you can go obviously to eharmony.co.uk, I suppose you might just take the plunge yourself from that particular perspective. But have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us in this continuing ongoing relationship between your good self, Linda, and the Midweek Garden Morning Edition?
Always have a wonderful telephonic link with you, always.
Brilliant. So I take it there we can continue long into 2016.
Absolutely.
And beyond.
Absolutely. We will invest in this relationship. It'll be great.
Yay! Always important, really, just sort of lead to all sorts of other problems. Linda Papadopoulos there, with relationship breakups, which kind of brings us full circle, really, from that point of view. We've covered Tarantino movies, we've covered self-images, negative self-images, positive self-images. We start off with Gibraltar. And we have four fabulous survivors. Yes, who've managed to see a merry dancey. You've seen through the course.
I have.
Yeah, exactly.
8 to 10.
Sorted through there. Likewise, Claire Margerison.
I have.
And, well, even McDonald, you kind of were a little bit tardy, but it was frosty.
I was 8:30.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the traffic.
Always critical reviews from that point of view. And of course, Natasha Armstrong, your first ever Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yes, very exciting.
Will there
Enjoyed
be another
it
one?
Immensely.
Will
oh,
you
definitely.
Be returning? Well, there we are. Great stuff. Natasha Armstrong will return. Likewise, Mary Dancy, presumably.
Yes.
Yeah, and Claire Margerison.
Yes, I will.
And Ian McDonald.
Yes.
And thanks to Sue Rice and Emma Tinson and Tessa Snar and Emily Jones for being part of the whole thing as well, together with Gabriella Peralta, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Fiona Hunter, Zoe Griffiths, William Sitwell, and Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, and of course your good self, dear listener. That's pretty much it. We're out of here. Can we all say, oh, actually, just a quick reminder, Wednesday's Midweek Drive, we have a magician.
Oh, no.
Yay. Oh, yes, Eva. David Fox is there. And you will be vanishing. So there we are. It'll be Eva has vanished. So, yes, so David Fox will be back with us. Derek Hanley from 10th Planet Productions and a whole heap of other things, including Claire Margeris and Emma Tenson and others, as the whole thing will develop. Whilst, of course, Natasha does her shorthand. It's important. Stay tuned to Lincoln's First Community Radio Station for the rest of the day. Superb stuff coming up as ever. Siren 107.3. That's it. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye. Bye.
I've been out walking. I don't do that much talking these days.